20th Century Alienation, réalisé par David Horvitz.
I am in a room dedicated to him with papers of a size of 40 by 60, in which we have like stencils on, with real words like reflection, removed, ring. And then there is one paper that strikes me. It is Nobody Owns the Beach.
So, do you recognize your work in this brief description, or maybe how could you talk about it?
Yeah, I guess, you're discussing two works.
Yeah.
And they both use language, and they're both, I guess in a sense, works on paper. One is a silkscreen, Nobody Owns the Beach. And the other one is this kind of reverse emboss, a deboss, where there's nothing on the paper. It's just the words, the letters, the character alphabet is pressed into the paper. So what you see is the impression of the language in the shadows. And they both have like various different kind of histories and contexts from other projects. The Nobody Owns the Beach,
yeah,
is just kind of complicated. It's not complicated, but it comes out of another artwork that was also shown in the same room, I think, in the last exhibition,
right?
And it's a piece. I make a lot of like kind of ephemera sometimes, and that was made originally from an exhibition in California, in Santa Barbara, that was just a pile that was given away. And then they just end up in places, and I kind of like lose track. And then, oh, here it is, this exhibition. And it was originally from this other piece called Public Access, which I'm on the beach in California with these photographs of me standing on the beach, which are all public beaches.
Yeah.
And so that's where the word nobody, the sentence Nobody Owns the Beach comes from, in this kind of very like specific context from where I'm from, which, and these photographs were then put onto Wikipedia, which is also in a sense this kind of parallel kind of public commons, in the sense that like the beach is public and then this like digital content is public. But then there were also all these problematics that emerged, which we could talk, I don't know if we have time to go into the work, but I won't say anything, but there was like, you know, these other things that emerged from that. But then the other work is actually for me a photographic work. The words, the other words, and it's because those words are the tags, the keywords of stock photography.
Okay.
Of images of depression.
Okay.
So there were a collection of basically an amalgamation of a language that refers back to images of depression and sadness.
All right.
That were pulled off of things like Getty Images, Corbis. It's like these stock image websites. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Does it mean that you don't work always in your place. You work everywhere. I mean, you were on the beach and you think about that, and maybe you are on another place. How do you come to your work? It's everywhere.
I don't even know. Who knows? It's not everywhere. It's like, but it is there. It's where, I guess the other way to say it is where I am.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's very specific. Like the beaches one is very specific to like the place of California.
Yeah.
But then they go on the internet, and then it becomes like unspecific and like a kind of more dislocated and like in the kind of weird like space of the internet. But then I make work like I travel.
Right, and those works, are they emblematic of what you usually do, or you make such different kind of work?
I mean, they are emblematic, but it's also you might have the false impression that I might, you're an artist who works on paper, and it's like, oh, that's true, but that's not really what the work, I mean, for that work, it made sense. I mean, for the text work,
yeah,
it was like kind of about depression, and then there was actually a literal depression into the paper.
Yeah,
so it was like a play with that, almost like kind of concrete poetry. I mean, I do work with a lot of language, but then I also like, you know, work with sound and mail, and there's a lot of mail work in that room,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And they're like, yeah,
on the table.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Like, sometimes I'll do an exhibition and it's really minimal, but then there is like, you know, piles of, it's an archive, basically.
Mm. Mm. And how did you choose this expression of your art? I mean, do you have different steps? You went there directly, or you began by other kind of work?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything is constantly in process and flux and changing. For me, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I could think back and imagine a kind of lineage or history in my work, to where, like, I used to make photographs. I mean, I could go back so far, and it's like, how far in the biography is like relevant? Because it's like, I can say, oh, like, a lot of this work comes out of like studying art in school in Los Angeles with like people like photographers like Uta Barth with my teacher, and so that's kind of where I first started making art. But then I could also say, when I was 8 years old, my father gave me a camera, and I photographed spiders in front of my house. And like, that's not very relevant to my practice, but then it is, because I start to engage with the camera and image making and thinking about like making, like, I mean, I wasn't thinking about, I was making art, but I was thinking, I was like playing with my camera, which I still do. And so there is, it's like, oh yeah, I still do that. And like, sometimes I like.
And you watch what you have done maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, and even like 40 years ago. Like,
yeah.
I've seen like, oh, I did this. I was like, oh my God, I did this thing where I dug this hole in the ground when I was probably 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I covered it up, and it was like a trap, and I got someone to walk into it and they fell over. And I was like, oh, that could be a work.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have sometimes an opportunity to hear people speaking of your works? And are you sensitive to that? Do you hear them, or you say, no, I don't want to?
It depends. I mean,
do you pay attention to
it? Yeah, I usually don't. I don't read reviews or things unless they're written by friends, because I feel if a friend writes something, they're my friend, I should read it. But I try not to like get distracted by things. I mean, it's hard because like with the internet and like social media, and a lot of times people will like write to me on Instagram like, I really like your work, but I really hate this piece, or like, I hate I hate your work, or I love your work. And it's like, why are you writing to me? I mean it doesn't, I wouldn't say I'm sensitive to it.
Yeah.
I just don't like, I don't like being overwhelmed by information.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I mean, I'm like, when I see a person, like in real life, you see a person and someone wants to tell you something, that's nice.
And do you see other people like you, artists? Are you sensitive to what they do? And sometimes it's kind of inspiration for you? Or you say, no, I'm more looking around me and...
No, I mean, I look at everything. I mean, I don't like... It's, I mean, there's so much happening. There's only so much I could do. Like, I have friends who are like, you know, you go to every opening, and because they need to know what's happening, and then that makes sense to their work because they're following everything, which is nice, but then it's also, that's so time consuming.
Yeah.
And so I do like to look at things, but I also don't like I said, I don't like to be overwhelmed.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's so easy to be like inundated with information, and it's like, oh, there's 100 exhibitions, there's 100 openings, and it's like, well, then you don't do anything except going out. I have like two kids, and it's like I'm trying to balance things, and it's like I just say, oh, I just want to go to the beach, and then don't do anything, and then it's kind of like, oh, that's my, I'm making my work. That's my work.
Okay, thank you so much, David. Yeah.